Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo!
Good Wednesday, everybody. Hope your day's off to a great start. You know what would make it even better, LZ? You know what would make this Wednesday even better?
If it was Friday?
Well, that would help a little bit too. That would help a little bit too. But some sort of announcement, and look, let me put on my rose-colored glasses, Pollyanna voice, the whole thing. Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association have come to an agreement to restart their season sometime in mid-July, and we're going to have all the games in Arizona, and teams will have expanded rosters, and expanded playoff will go into this part, and blah, 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 blah. That hasn't happened. In fact, we're nowhere. We are nowhere in the sense that the players rejected the owner's latest offer, and they reproposed to the owners saying, yes, we'll play 80-some games, but you got to pay us our full amount. And the owners, of course, are not going to accept that, so we are nowhere. Earlier today, we had a conversation with our pal Pedro Gomez, and he said that Major League Baseball does have an option that the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, can unilaterally put a schedule on the table.
It would mean that they would get their full day's pay for those 48 games. So that would be about that would be around 30% of whatever their salary is for the season. They would get, for 162 games, you just prorate it out and you'll get 48 games worth of pay. But what it means is that the commissioner can just say, okay, we're at an impasse. I have the right to say this is what the schedule is going to be this year. And if you show up, you get paid and you get service time. And if you decide not to show up because you just don't want to show up, then you get no pay and no service time. And the service time is a big issue for players. That goes toward pension. That goes toward free agency time. That there's a lot involved with service time that is very important to big leaguers.
Okay. If it's as simple as we're going to play X amount of games, you guys are going to get all of your money at a prorated rate for however many games we play. Your service time will accrue. If you decide not to, no service time. This seems like a solution to a problem. It's not a perfect solution because I'm sure the owners wouldn't love the idea of having to pay full fare considering that their income has been diminished to a certain degree because of the coronavirus. But what the hell is Rob Manfred waiting for? Because if he puts it on the table and either of these two sides buck, now we have a PR push where somebody is actually losing. Why not put it on the table and make these guys go back to work?
I'm assuming he's holding back until the last minute because once you push that kind of that bomb, you can't get that genie back in the bottle. And there's going to be ill will actually towards him from both sides. It's a real tough no-win situation if you're him because you can survive if one side hates you. But if both sides find reasons to hate you, you're probably going to end up losing your job. And to be quite honest with you, it would be fair to him, but I don't think anybody would care enough to fight for him. So he's just going to be out of a job. So he's going to hold off. But do you know what else today is? This is how ridiculous this scenario is. Today is the first day of the baseball draft. Today's the first day of the draft. So think about this. This is a draft that no one cares about in regular times, right? We don't even care about it in the regular time.
Right.
Here we are in the midst of a pandemic. And you can't even turn your draft, which we saw what the NFL was able to do. We saw what the NBA was able to do with a freaking game of horse. You can't even make your draft compelling enough for us to want to watch or care about because we hadn't mentioned it for the first 2 hours, 3 hours of the show. So we don't care about the draft. All we care about is you getting out there to play. You can't make your draft sexy. You can't figure out how to get on the field. Maybe you should be gone, Commissioner, because I'm turning around and I'm like, I'm looking at the ESPYs. I never see any players walking down the red carpet at the ESPYs. We don't care about your draft. You can't get the two parties to come together to play during the damn pandemic. I just see X's, X's, and L's everywhere. Where's the win for you? When's the last time you had a win?
The only win, LZ, is to get back on the field. And that's why I think he's got to flex his muscles here a little bit. Like, I have given up hope that baseball can be sexy, for lack of a better word. To your point about the ESPYs, that is in the middle of the baseball season. I know it's done over the All-Star break, so maybe they could get there. But when you play 162 games in about 180 days, if you don't want to go do that, I kind of get it. So I get that. Baseball players are not the most dynamic personalities, generally speaking. I get that. That the draft that you're talking about, and you're right. I mean, none of us knew who Mike Trout was until he was in the major leagues. No, none of us knew who Aaron Judge or Christian Yelich were before they got to the major leagues. We don't follow college baseball, really. We don't follow high school baseball, really, the way that we do college football and basketball. So these are anonymous people. And until they make the major leagues, you know, the names that are going to come off the board tonight, I do follow college baseball. And I bet you the vast majority of these guys in the first round, I don't know who they are. So I get that. What they do have is the games. And what they do have is a commissioner who has, at least in theory, the ability to force both sides back onto the field. And then you can leave it up to them to figure out. Because basically what's happening, what Pedro told us an hour or so ago, was that these guys are already fighting over the next deal, that the pandemic just gave them an opportunity for both of them to pick up their weapons and go to war earlier than later, that this was something that was coming anyway, but this was an opportunity for them to both say, you know what, let's make sure that we stake out our positions early enough. There is no winner in this. Both sides have a point. Baseball owners have a point in, hey, look, our numbers aren't what they were. When I agreed to pay you your make up a round number, your $20 million, that was me expecting to have an income of X amount of dollars. That's not happening. The stadiums are empty. We've missed all this TV money. We've missed all this revenue from a very variety of different sources. So I don't have that. I need to pay you a percentage less. The players rightfully can say, hey, we agreed to this money on a prorated basis. That's what you agreed to. If you're telling me you're losing some money, I need to have my accountant look at your books to make sure that I'm not giving away a percentage that is greater than what you're losing. That too is a fair statement, but nobody wants to do this. They both want a position and posture, and we're the ones that are going to suffer. And maybe Rob Manfred loses his job. Maybe that's ultimately what happens if he unilaterally imposes a schedule, but it would put them in a really hard position to continue this fight moving forward if he says, look, I'm not going to be the guy that didn't have a baseball season in the middle of a pandemic when everybody else, Bud Selig was never looked at the same after the World Series was canceled. He was the guy on his watch. It got canceled. It was on his watch that the steroid took place. When we talk about Bud Selig, we don't talk about expanding the playoffs. We don't talk about the revenues getting exploded. We talk about the World Series got canceled, and we talk about steroids. Rob Manfred would be the guy that, oh, he was the one guy that couldn't figure out how to get his sport back on the field. At least he would go out with some sense of dignity, some sense of righteousness if he said, I am not going to be the guy that doesn't play when everyone else is.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely correct, Travis, especially when you think about the way that Bud Selig was looked at in the aftermath of no World Series. I mean, it's just it's hard to come back from. I don't know how you feel as a baseball fan. But I know personally, I would much rather just have the season be canceled and deal with that than have a abbreviated champion anointed maybe in 60 games or less, mm-hmm. and then having to both be reminded of the pandemic, be reminded of the ineptitude of the leaders, and then have a champion and a season that no one cares about or respects. You know, like to me, that's like three strikes in one move. So I get, you know, what could happen if you were to detonate and force them to play with those games. But that's just two strikes to me. The third strike is actually going through with that plan and then having a World Series champion that doesn't even get a chance to walk around proud with his chest out and a ring on his finger. No one's going to care. And that includes the Dodgers. Unless we go 48 or 49-0 or whatever the hell number they come up with and go on and sweep through the freaking tournament and we end up as World Series champs, then I think people are going, well, they were the best team going into it and they just proved it. But anything other than that scenario, who's respecting this?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I don't know if there's anything anybody could tell you or me, LZ, that would make me feel good about a 48-game champion. I don't think it exists. I think you're right. I think it is. It is what it is. It is a championship that is less than the other ones. But I'd rather have that than nothing. That you know, let's pick a team. Let's say the Dodgers win the World Series. And instead of saying, hey, the Dodgers won their first World Championship since 1988, it might be the Dodgers haven't won a real World Series since 1988. They did get that weird thing that happened in the summer of 2020, whatever that was. But going into 2021, Mookie Betts is back on the field and Cody Bellinger's looking for another MVP. I'd be okay. Does it mean the same thing? No. But is it as valuable as a World Series from a couple of years ago when they got ripped off by the Astros? No, but it's something. And it maybe it's not as valuable as anything else, but I would rather have something that's goofy and looked at a little strangely than have nothing at all, because I keep coming back to this, and I know I'm being a little bit repetitive. You can't have the whole world play and you're standing over there not playing. It's a complete disconnect. Football is going to play. The NBA is going to play. Major League Soccer is going to play. The NHL is going to play. Golf starts this weekend. NASCAR has been running races for a couple of weeks. European soccer is playing. Tennis and all of these other sports are getting ready to come back and play again. And you're going to be the one team that says, yeah, no, we're good, man. I want all my money, and they won't show me the books. And they're saying, we can't pay you, but we're not going to show you the books. It is a devastatingly bad look. I'm not saying it's irreparable, because baseball has proven to be incredibly resilient, but it would be an incredibly stupid and short-sighted thing for them to kill a season, even if the only solution is some bastardized version of a 50-game season.
Oh, man, it's really a rock and a hard place, because even though those other sports you talked about are definitely back, and you know they have a plan in place, and some of them, like the NBA, are working with abbreviated schedules. It's abbreviated remaining schedules. They've already got a good chunk of their season in the books already, so we kind of know what that is. Baseball starting and finishing abbreviated just feels like yuck.
Do you hang a banner that's like a third of the size of the other ones if you do win the World Series? Instead of a full banner, like this is the 2020 banner. It's one third of the games. It's one third the size. Reggie Bush is coming back to USC. Should he do it with a smile on his face? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Looking forward to Key coming back tomorrow. LZ, you looking forward to going back to the movies? Because apparently the movie theaters, they're opening up on Friday here in California, reducing capacity to about one quarter, 25%, all sorts of other safety measures in part. You going to go see the movies? I know that you are a regular moviegoer. Are you in line yet?
I was a regular moviegoer. And yes, I use past tense on purpose. We were taking chances in society before coronavirus in those movie theaters. Y'all know they don't clean them seats, right? When the last time you saw a vacuum cleaner in a movie theater, let alone somebody with a spray bottle wiping down with stuff? Come on, man. They pick up some little popcorn that's left over, and your little soda that's left over, and they keep it moving. So
they got the guy with the
whole bunch of clean.
They got the guy with the dustpan and the broom getting the milk duds, junior mints off the floor.
Until I see some spray bottles and some hand sanitizers and some stuff like, if I don't see that, then I ain't showing up, because you guys were nasty beforehand. No,
well, I miss paying $72 for a large popcorn and a drink. Man, I think I'm down. I'm going, man. Yeah. I'm going.
Look, I we were talking about this yesterday. I went back out into the restaurant world this weekend, and I loved every minute of it. I went to three different spots last weekend, had three different experiences, and it was great. And I'm anxiously awaiting this weekend coming around so I can go do it all over again. I was not a regular moviegoer to begin with, but the movie theater, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the enclosed space. I don't know if it's what you're talking about, LZ, where they don't necessarily keep those things sterile under the best of circumstances. But I think it's just all of it, the enclosed area, the closeness that you're usually sitting to other people, and the fact that there's all sorts of food involved that's all over the floor that just makes it far, far more disgusting.
It's a disgusting thing, man. So I love movies, and I am usually the one that shows up, you know, opening night, because I know how important that is in the record keeping and all that stuff. And I just love the experience of sharing this with strangers. I really do. It's why I love going to concerts, too. I love having a shared experience that way. But that's nasty. It's nasty in there. So I need to see some sanitary improvements first. And in the meantime, I'm going to work on my other little hobbies I've picked up. I started repotting plants and developing a little green thumb. Nothing's dead yet, so I'm really proud about that.
What about the tiki torch?
And then yesterday, I actually went out and bought tiki torches, and I staked them into my little pots, and I lit the flame, and I felt like a man. I felt like a man, Travis.
You found
you didn't
fire,
burn any of those nappy chest hairs?
Nope. I made sure I ran back, Raj, before the flame got real high. But it's something about, I think this is the reason why men like to barbecue. There's something about fire that harkens back to our early days as cavemen. That once we got fire in our power, we felt like we were on top of the world. I lit those two little tiki torches right next to my pink little petunias, and I felt like a man. I felt like I could go out and just do some things. I strutted around with my chest out. I poured myself some scotch, and I was just like, and I started scratching and spitting, even though I wasn't itching and had nothing to spit out. I just felt
The next step, LZ, is to not have it, you know, stuck into the ground, but like hold it up over your head like you're the skipper on Gilligan's Island walking through the backyard with your tiki torch held high, like you're leading some sort of expedition out to the grill, like we're going to go get meat. We're going to go cook on the open flame. You got to get a movement going in your backyard so you can lead some people with your tiki torch.
The last time people were being led with a tiki torch, it didn't turn out too well for Richard.
That's why it needs to be you. We need a better version of the tiki torch march. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think tiki torches and marches is going to be in my near future. You know? Hashtag Charlottesville, hashtag both sides. Like, I'm not necessarily going to be a tiki torch leader. But I appreciate what you're saying, Travis.
Could you imagine the memes catching LZ out there in a tiki torch and some khakis? Memes would be great.
By the way, I don't like that khakis have been commandeered as a racist uniform. I have too many pairs in my closet. It's not feeling great about that whole deal.
You may want to make a wardrobe change then, my friend, because they've been ruined for a minute.
I was okay being kind of associated with Jim Harbaugh just having bad fashion sense. But the other thing I'm far less comfortable with. SC is welcoming back Reggie Bush. His disassociation from the university is up. I'm sure this is a coincidence. I'm sure this has nothing to do with USC deciding that the time is right to bring him back. But the penalty that he had for doing what he did was a 10-year penalty. And the day that it started was June 10th, 2010, and today just happens to be June 10th, 2020. So way to stand up for what you believe is right, USC. Good job.
Yeah, I guess. It's so embarrassing, isn't it? It's so embarrassing when everyone knows you didn't fight for this guy, and he's going to show up on campus, and now you got to try and pretend as if, you know, bygones are bygones. The only thing that saves SC, I feel, in this position is the fact for the bulk of those 10 years, Carol Folt was not the president. For the bulk of those 10 years, you know, Mr. Bone was not the AD. And so they can feasibly say, well, if we were here, we would have welcomed you back years ago. But, you know, we just got here. And it's legitimate. You know, it's legit. The people who hung them out to dry, they're gone. And so, you know, you can't pretend as if, you know, bygones are bygones, even though you also know that the boosters who were there back then, they're still there. That some of the more powerful voices around SC that were around back then, they're still there. And there's still going to be a level of awkwardness when you interact with them, you know, and how they felt about the situation. But from an administrative point of view and from a direct SC leadership point of view, they do have the cover, Travis, of saying, we just got here.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. It just seemed like, and I your point about a new administration is well taken, but it just seemed like USC was a little too enthusiastic to cut him loose. Just a little too enthusiastic to, yeah, sure, okay, if we have to pretend like it never happened, we'll do it. The fight to keep Reggie Bush a member of that family seemed to be half-hearted at best and far worse on the other side. Because we saw it, man. We saw Reggie Bush. You said a minute ago that you were watching some highlights during one of the breaks. Reggie Bush was one of the most dynamic college football players I've ever seen in my life. Take out the Reggie Bush part where he went to the NFL and kind of bounced around a little bit to some different teams and was probably something less than we expected considering he was picked where he was in the first couple of picks in the NFL draft. That being said, his college career stacks up against anybody's. He was a national champion. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a Rose Bowl participant. He played one of the greatest college football games of all time. He was on what was widely considered, right up until Vince Young did what he did to SC, the greatest college football team of all time, and he might have been the best player on it. We're just going to pretend like it never happened, that we didn't see it, erase it from the record books, not show the highlights on TV. Come on, man. Fight for that guy. He did those things for you. He did those things in your uniform. He earned God knows how many millions of dollars for U University. How many people cared about USC because of what Reggie Bush was doing? And that this is the NCAA says, well, you have to pretend he doesn't exist for a decade. Oh, okay, cool. That they went along with it? It just feels terrible.
No, of course it feels terrible. It feels awful. And I feel so bad for him because he was being held up as the foster child for everything that's wrong. Everything that's freaking wrong with the NCAA, which disguised the fact that it's the NCAA that has everything wrong with it. It's so ridiculous to know that, you know, this guy had to pretend as if he didn't go to college for a decade because of what the NCAA said. You know, I got to be proud when Western Michigan and we were rowing the boat and we were all on college game day. And I graduated from college in 96. And I was proud that we were doing things in the football world, going to the SC game with Key and being able to talk smack. That feels good when everything's rolling. And they took that from him. They took that from him. Not because he cheated the system, not because he cheated the game, but because of some arbitrary rule and he was just trying to help his family.
The conclusion of Bush's USC disassociation does not affect the Trojans' 14 wins and one loss in 04 and 05 that were vacated by NCAA mandate, nor Bush's vacated stats in those games. The status of Bush's 05 Heisman Trophy that he forfeited back to the Heisman Trophy Trust in 2010 remains unchanged at this time. So he's back, but none of the stuff he did ever happened. This is ridiculous. This is patently ridiculous. I'm happy. If Reggie's happy, I'm happy because he did all these things, and if he wants to go stay on the sidelines, great. But this was silly, and it just continues to be sillier by the second. Colin Kaepernick, is he getting back into the league? Dr. Harry Edwards has some interesting thoughts. You'll hear from him next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
So Roger Goodell apologized, said they got it wrong last Friday, said that they're going to do better, said that they're going to listen to their players, said that they're going to be actively pursuing to end racism in their league and to be a partner in the fight forward. Colin Kaepernick's name was never mentioned. We spoke earlier today with Dr. Harry Edwards, who is a noted sociologist and has talked about athletes for years and years and their role in society. And I asked him, does this mean that we're likely to get back with Colin Kaepernick in the NFL and we're likely to see him on a roster in the future?
I'm hoping that the commissioner and the league will get this right, because Colin Kaepernick is hanging over the league like a death shroud. They need to get that garbage off the road. The other thing is that there's a growing disposition toward the Nobel Peace Prize nomination for Colin Kaepernick and George Floyd jointly because of the movement that their activities have precipitated and provoked, the awareness that they have generated, not just in this country, but around the world. And so the last thing in the world the NFL needs is for a someone who has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize to be outside looking in while they are refusing to even mention his name. I think that the NFL is better than that. I know that Roger is better than that, and they need to get this stuff off the road so that they can move forward.
You said it a minute ago, LZ. It seems like a pretty obvious course of action. Let's address this. We hoped it would go away. It didn't. It's gained momentum. We've admitted that we blew it the first time. Let's get in front of this and address it. Will they get it off of the road?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because honestly, it's in a moment in time right now, Travis, when we're so focused in on fairness and equality and criminal justice and all the chit chats that we have going on right now. Let's not forget the role that Colin Kaepernick played in all of this. And, you know, in the past, you know, it wasn't liked, but it was accepted that people would be martyred, and that if they were first to do something that was really good, that their lives would have to be sacrificed as penance for that. But that was the past. All right. We don't need to do that now. He is only 32 years old. We got quarterbacks that are 10 years older than him in the league. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. So you're trying to tell me a young man who last we saw won a football game when he was at his peak, led his team to the Super Bowl. You're trying to tell me that guy still has no value as a football player? That's ridiculous. And we all know it's ridiculous. So that means the only reason why you would continue to keep him out is because the apology that you gave wasn't sincere. Again, I'm not asking, and no one is advocating for him to get a handout. It's not a handout. If I took his name off of the freaking books and just gave you his stats, including how long he didn't play, you would still have GMs and team presidents saying, let's at least kick the tire on that. Mm-hmm. You would still. It's because of his name that he's not in the league, not because of his game. And if we're going to actually have a push from Roger Goodell, the NFL, in terms of acknowledging the wrongs, getting engaged in this conversation, then don't keep punishing the guy that dragged you there. Because you look like you're not sincere, and that is not, I'm assuming that is not the message you wanted to send.
I just want to know who's going to do it, because we've seen it right now, right? Cam Newton is not on a roster. Cam Newton is looking for a job. And it's not exactly apples to apples, because maybe Cam Newton is saying, I only want to come in and be your quarterback. I do not want to come in and back somebody up. I do not want to come in and compete for a job. I'm a former MVP in this league in the not-too-distant past, and I'm not doing that. I want to be a starter. That being said, Cam Newton, a former MVP in this league, is looking for work, and I just fear that they will use that as a cover for why Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. That it won't be, hey, Colin Kaepernick, it's too hot. You can't touch it. I know that we've gone through months of protests at this point, and we're with the cause, and we want to end racism. We're an aggressively anti-racist organization. Colin Kaepernick isn't on the sidelines because we don't want the heat. Colin Kaepernick's on the sidelines because there are no vacancies. That they can use that as cover to not do what is painfully obvious, which is bring him back into the league, because they can hide behind the logistics of the league, the supply and demand of the league, that, hey, look, we'd love to, but we just drafted a guy. Hey, we'd love to, but we just signed this veteran quarterback. Hey, we'd love to, but we have a guy that we love, and we have a backup that's on the right amount of money for our salary cap, that they will use all of the logistical reasons, as opposed to the reasons we knew were true, you know, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, of, I don't want that guy in here. Hell no. I don't need that in my life. They'll hide behind the football reasons of it as opposed to the social reasons that were keeping him out before.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Because once you bring in Kaepernick to your camp, to your football team, there's going to be a ton of media interested in participating and watching and recording and seeing and interviewing. But we also still are dealing with the pandemic, which, as far as I can tell, has not green-lighted the return of press conferences on a large scale like that, what we're used to seeing in terms of a scrum and things of that nature. And if I were the NFL, I would use that as cover to bring him back. Because now the teams don't have to say, we're going to be faced with this question every day in the locker room and blah, 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 blah. Because as of right now, that scenario doesn't exist because of the pandemic and the cautions behind the pandemic, which just gives you even more reason why this will be a good time to bring them back. Because the whole idea of this will be a big distraction, that really gets nullified a great deal because of the limited access that the journalists will have to the team and to the players to begin with. You're running out of excuses, Travis.
They're running
out of reasons.
Is this a good excuse, LZ? And I think I know the answer to it, but do I want to bring Colin Kaepernick in because he might be better than my guy, but I can't get rid of my guy because of contractual stuff. I've offered him, or he's accepted all this money. I'm locked in here. And if my guy goes out there and lays an egg and I've got Colin Kaepernick standing there and I know that he's a better option right now, but economically I can't make a move over here, I don't need that heat in my life. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with social justice. It has everything to do with I'm paying this guy a boatload of money, and I'm not quite sure that that was a good idea in the first place. I do not need a better football player than him looking over his shoulder.
No, you don't. You don't, but this isn't about you. All right? You don't want to look over your shoulder, fine, play better.
No, I'm talking about the organization. I'm talking about head coaches, because Key has said
no,
this
that's what I'm
times.
Saying.
Those guys are about them, period.
So I get all that, but this is just bigger, Travis. It's just bigger. It's bigger than who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. This conversation that we're having, that we've been engaged with all these years, people are finally starting to see its importance. And the people who used to go on air and used to try to, you know, look for statistics to justify why he shouldn't be in the league and things of that nature, you don't see them out in full force anymore. What you're seeing now are black men on air sharing their stories of being, you know, accosted by police officers, sharing their stories of having to give the talk. That's what you're seeing on air now. If there's ever a time in which Colin Kaepernick will be given a fair opportunity to reengage with the NFL, right now is the time. Damn your win-loss column. Damn everything else that you've been trying to protect. Now is the time to actually get on the right side of this conversation, because you've been on the wrong side now for 5 years.
Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. George, let me ask you kind of a random question out of left field. Have you ever been to the state of New Hampshire?
You know, it's funny. When I lived in Connecticut, I went to a lot of those states in that general region, but New Hampshire was not one of them. Why?
The reason I ask is because apparently, according to some data, New Hampshire residents consume more beer than any other state in the country, that nearly 2 gallons per person of beer consumed every single year. And having never been to New Hampshire myself, I was wondering if it's just that boring to be in New Hampshire.
I mean, it probably is. It's not like, you know, there's not a lot to do there, I would imagine. But I know there's a lot of breweries there. I do know that. Like, it was one of the things that kind of made us want to go there potentially, like on a Saturday afternoon or something. Cause, you know, all those states in the New England area, you drive just 3-4 hours and you can get to all of them basically.
So, have you been to Vermont?
I have been to Vermont.
They're third. They drink a lot of beer in Vermont as well.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's super cold there. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I will tell you this. I've never weighed more in my life than when I lived in the Northeast, because in essence, we all gain weight during the holidays, right? Like generally speaking, mm-hmm. regardless of where we live, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, whatever you celebrate, Hanukkah, etc. And then around what happens in the Northeast, Travis, is basically after New Year's, you've got another 4 months of nothing but hanging out inside your house. So there's not a lot of things to do other than drink, to be honest with you.
Well, you look at the list, New Hampshire, Vermont, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. Your theory is pretty sound, George.
Yeah, it's
these
the
are
winter,
all very cold yeah. places.
Cold places that there's nothing to do for 4 months other than stay inside, hibernate, and drink a lot. And yeah, so I've never weighed more than when I was there because we just drank a lot and you ate a lot and you stayed indoors a lot. So it was tough. Like eventually I just said, the hell with it, and I'll just go to the gym. But it was so damn cold some days that you're like, I don't even know if I want to do that.
All right. So Reggie Bush is coming back into the USC family.
Yeah.
The penalty, the 10 years that he was to be disassociated with the university expired today, and USC is going to bring him back. And LZ and I were spending a ton of time on it this morning. If Reggie wants to go back, great. This is entirely Reggie's, how he wants to feel about this. I support him in this. It just feels so ridiculous that for 10 years they had to pretend that he didn't exist, because for those of us that are sports fans, for those of us that have worked in media going all the way back to that point, we all saw it, George. We all know that he was one of the great college football players of all time. To pretend that, oh, Reggie is back right now, it just feels wrong for so many different reasons.
Look, I get it. It's bittersweet, right? It's like, hey, better late than never, kind of like what we were talking about the other day with Roger Goodell, right? But but you're right. We saw all of it. I think the NCAA in general just needs to be disbanded, like just enough. Like just we'll figure it out. Like the Power Fives, then the rest, you know, of the Division One schools can create their own thing. And, you know, they do it already in the different divisions, right? Like just get rid of it. They have these archaic rules. They don't have enough people to enforce the rules. They don't even have enough people to kind of dictate the rules, it seems like sometimes. They can't keep up with their own rules. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's whether it's Reggie Bush, whether it's the Fab Five, for God's sake. Like, they got it. They took down all those banners for Jalen and all those guys, too. Like, it's just stupid.
It's incredibly – you brought up something that I've been saying for years. I've never understood why – and we talk about Power Fives and – That might work too, but let's go a step further. Why don't the big ones, and we all know who we're talking about. We're talking about Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, USC. We know who we're talking about. Those, whatever it is, 15, 20, 25 schools that have they start every season hoping to win a national championship. Why don't those 15, 20, 25 schools just say, you know what, bye. We're done with you guys. We're going to go form this little league over here. We're going to play each other. We're going to put together a tournament. We're not going to worry about your rules. We're going to make sure the players get what they need. We're going to make sure that they're all taken care of. If you guys want to go manage San Jose State and Tulsa and Montana, go ahead. You guys can have your thing over here, but we're done with your rules. We're going to run what is essentially a minor league over here with the logos of the universities. I've never understood why they haven't done that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I do think, and it's funny because we're going to have Bruce Feldman on in about 25 minutes. I'll ask him that for you. But my Please. Theory on it is this, is just some of these schools, right, are so intertwined within their conferences that if you just take the best 15 or 20 to create their own thing, you're going to have some issues potentially. So because of rivalries and things of that nature. So I think that that's why the collective of 60 or whatever it is in the Power Five is probably a better bet.
That's fine by me, too. I'm not set on a 20. Whatever it is, let's just get rid of the NCAA, create our own rules, and get the teams that we want playing the teams that we want.
I'm with you.
Crosstalk. I'm losing my mind, George. I'm losing my mind. It's another show. It's coming up next. This is The Morning Show. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.